Oh, baby, do you smell that in the air? And I'm not talking about Sammy's fart before. And I heard that. I heard that. And I heard Katrina freak out in the background. You didn't expect that, eh?
I did that. That is an intro I did not expect. Nope.
But do you guys smell that? It's hockey season, baby. We are live. It is 8 p.m. And we're watching the opening of the Connor Bedard show. So
we'll baby.
See how that goes. But before I do my introduction, I just want to start off the show by saying to all our listeners and to all our followers out there, our goal for this podcast is not only here to talk hockey and share Habs news. We also want to be a place for our followers to come here and listen to us as a getaway from all the negativity and bullshit that goes on in each of your lives. So with all that's currently going on in this world and all the negativity surrounding us, we just, on behalf of the Curfew Boys, we just hope and pray for peace on earth. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it at that. So just pray for peace and be thankful for what we have and bless for where we are. So on that note, not to get to this negative talk, the boys back. The it feels like it feels like yesterday where we had this opening episode from last year predicting, you know, Chris, I remember you had predicted, you and I predicted 30 goal scorers and it didn't fucking happen.
There's no Joey here to fucking shut you guys up on the on those bold
I'm a bit
predictions.
Disappointed about that because Joey's gonna like what I'm gonna say later on. But before we get there, let me introduce you to my boys. You know, we got Fireman Sam in the house.
Salute, hello.
We got GQ Chris, and the rest of the guys are off tonight, but they're here in spirit,
as always.
Guys, I'm excited. I'm freaking excited. How about you guys? How excited are you?
Oh, it's finally here. Hockey's here. We're recording right now. We're recording. It's Tuesday night, October 10th. The NHL season has finally arrived. The Tampa Bay versus Nashville game just finished. Tampa Bay winning that one. And right now, like you said, it's the Connor Bedard show making his NHL debut against Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think that's a pretty cool start for the kid. You know, he's going up against, you know, Sid the Kid, Sidney Crosby, Canadian legend, but going up against Evgeny Malkin, you know, Christopher Letang, and now Erik Karlsson as well. And he's just already with the puck. And like, it's exciting. It's exciting. You know, I'm so jealous of fucking Chicago because, you know, they had a decade of like, you know, a great team. Despite the shit that happened to them. I mean, they were still almost a dynasty team. I mean, players like Taves, Kane, they got to see that. And now they get to see Connor Bedard too for hopefully for his whole career. Like, they're so freaking lucky and I'm so jealous. And it's like, we were only a couple losses away from potentially getting him. So
Joel was about to say if he was on the
this is a subliminal message or maybe a direct message for Joey and maybe to all other Habs fans out there who know the truth is if it weren't for Sam Montembeau stealing a couple of games that, you know, Cole Caulfield scoring late tying goals, who knows, but all that to say is it's listen, if you're a diehard hockey fan like me, you know, knowing that he's the next big thing, and it's there's still Connor McDavid, but right there is Connor Bedard too. That it's pretty cool. Hockey's back, baby. Hockey's back. And the Canadians start Wednesday night. So can't wait. It's finally here.
But speaking of Bedard, I mean, I think he's next level. I think from what I've been seeing and what we've been seeing here, you know, what was that?
Somebody's meowing. Somebody got a new cat. He's going to explain later.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Yes, you.
I as much as, you know, I love Connor McDavid and we love the Ovechkins and we love the Sidney Crosbys, I think Bedard is at the next level. And he's proven that in exhibition so far. And not only exhibition and a lot of people saying, you know, let him taste the NHL, blah, 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 the 82 games. But I think he's next level, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what he's capable of doing. And like you said, Sam, we're jealous of the Blackhawks, you know. Ugh. After so many years of having a good team, and then now they're like back at it with these picks. But you know what? I think these guys are, they're so young and so good. You know, like, we've been waiting to build this Habs team for a long time, and we're still building, and we have potential of a future, an amazing future team.
Yeah. But
I think Chicago's almost there with just these picks, you know, and they just the right management, right? We've always said in the past episodes, if you have the right management and the money to spend, you can build a fairly quick and good team fast, you know? And I think that's the views and the goal here and the vision for the new Montreal Canadiens era with the Hughes and the Gorton. And we've seen it right now. And I think they're just blocked out with the money situation, but you can tell this management is like every other dynasty management we've seen in the past. You know,
they're cleaning up.
They're cleaning up.
They're cleaning up, and the first move they made was sending down Yoel Armia through waivers. That's the first. That just goes right there. That shows that, like, Kent Hughes is basically cleaning up whatever, I'm not going to say whatever mess Marc Bergevin did, but whatever contracts that were given, you know, unless if the player doesn't merit a spot, he's going to be put through waivers. And, you know, they're building a culture with this team. And I'm not here saying that Yoel Armia was a threat to this culture. Like, now that Jonathan Drouin is gone, like, it seems that Yoel Armia has become the new whipping boy, which kind of frustrated me because I didn't have that much expectations of Yoel Armia. I expected him to be a fourth line guy that's going to kill penalties, you know, protect the puck in the offensive zone, you know, maybe do a play or two. And the guy has skill. Like, he's clearly shown he's had skill, but I do agree that the frustrating part is that the level of inconsistency in his game. This is what it came down to. It's come down to, it's like, maybe now management in a way said enough's enough. You know, like, he is 30 years old as well. Like, he's, and speaking of Connor Bedard, like, it's just goes to show that this is a young man's game now. And unless you bring something to the table, you know, already that they're letting Brendan Gallagher play, but Brendan Gallagher always at heart, and it's undeniable the level of heart he brings to the team. But having another veteran like Tanner Pearson too, like, it's going to, they're going to show that, like, they can't keep all of these veterans that are hitting 30 that are at the age of 30 plus, because it's a young man's team now. It's a young man's game, and they are taking up a roster spot. So this is something that Kent Hughes knows, and that's exactly what he's doing, you know? Yep. So that's my take on the whole Yoel Armia thing. A lot of it has to do with them trying to reach salary cap level before putting anybody on the long-term injured reserve list. So that's Carey Price and now Christian Dvorak. But Armia is still part of the roster, but he was sent through waivers. But that's still an indication that this team, this management, is moving forward with the younger guys.
Yep. I think, well, to that point, I don't think in any previous years, let's say from 2000 on, we would have seen management have the balls to send down a guy like Yoel Armia.
Very true.
The amount of times, like, I can't remember the number of camps where there has been a standout player. And I mean, it's funny because when I'm going to say his name, it was like David Desharnais showed up to training camp, had a fantastic training camp. I think he earned his spot, but I'm hesitant to say that. But I just remember there were kids that showed up to so many training camps over the years, and they actually performed, and they actually outperformed by a long shot in comparison to the vets, and they weren't rewarded. They always said, oh yeah, we'll let the young guys bring in the surprises. It's the first year that they actually walk the walk after talking the talk. Yeah. And to that, and it doesn't stop at the Montreal Canadiens. I don't know. We were having this chat the other day. The amount of 20, let's say, 6, 27-year-olds to maybe 30, 32-year-olds that got cut, that were, I don't want to say
staples for their respective teams, but they were NHL players. They were bona fide NHL players. They've been in the league. They haven't necessarily dipped down that much. When you say it's a younger man's game, this is, again, across the board. And I'm just, look, I'll say this much. We're lucky that we had a Habs management who followed through. And for Armia, I wish them all the best. But what's fair is fair. You don't show up. You don't look like you want to skate. And I think the go-to thing, just to cap Armia, it's so frustrating for fans here in Montreal when you watch the guy go play for his national team.
It's unreal.
Like the wind, he pushes like to no end, and then the guy is dragging in comparison. And that's why it's the same player a few months apart. The guy is dragging his feet in comparison. And you know what? You want to do that? You don't have a spot on this roster. And and I'd have a hard time justifying Ilonen and or Ilonen, however you want to pronounce it. And some of the other guys. Honestly, it sucks that there weren't more, because even a guy like Norlander, I thought he genuinely, you know, he had his spot. So
he impressed. But look, we'll open up that segment to
it. I want to get to that next time, but I want to I want to finish what you both said, because you guys brought up a lot of good points. And I've been saying this for a long time in pretty much all the episodes, and I keep getting repetitive, but I think this is just the direction this team is going. What you said, it's a young man's team. And Sam, you said it before, if you're not going to bring what is needed to bring on the table, then you don't have a spot for this team. And I think they established that the moment they signed Suzuki's contract and Caulfield's contract right after.
Set the bar. Yeah.
They set the bar of, this is Suzuki's team. He will be the highest paid player and the oldest player of this team. Everybody else is going to be at the same age and the same price level, right? And I think that's the direction this team is going. And we've learned this. And I know you guys, mostly Joey, and I'm not here to insult Joey. I'm saying, you know, you've always said, you know, talent, talent, talent. We need talent. We need talent. And as much as I'm always going to agree with that statement, I'm always going to follow back to my original belief of chemistry and heart. And I think if you have a mix and a balance of both, you're going to get your dynasty and your winning team. And I think that's what Hughes and Gorton is trying to do with this team. Because perfect example, the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, on paper, they're stacked. They have the best players in the freaking world. And they have, you know, a team on paper to win a Stanley Cup. But these guys cannot play together. They have no chemistry. You're throwing a bunch of guys in the middle on the ice. You know, like, you know, pick up hockey and you're just throwing all the best players on one end. But then you have a bunch of young guys who are friends, who know how to play together. And they're going to beat the talented players, because the talented players have a lot of strong ego. They are individual players, individual talent. They don't have team talent. And I believe with the direction this team is going, the Montreal Canadiens, building this team at a young age, like we're seeing right now, all these guys, all these young players, give it 2-3 years playing together with the talent they have, the projection talent that we have. Because we all, at the end of the day, we all say that Norlander is amazing. We all say that Gouley's going to be amazing and Caulfield and this and that. But at the end of the day, we haven't fully seen it all. But give it 2-3 years where they all play as a team and they build chemistry together. Now, add that in the mix with talent, you're going to have a better Toronto Maple Leafs. You're not getting a team of a bunch of players, high salary, and the biggest names playing together. You're seeing a team who started at a young age growing together, and then they know how to play with each other. And that is the biggest weapon to beat any team, because I believe chemistry is very strong. So you said it before, Sam, if you don't have what it takes and if you don't fit that category of being young and that salary of Suzuki, if you want more and you want to be an older player, then you better have what it takes to follow this team. And right now, look, perfect example, Dubois. Sorry, I'm babbling, but Dubois, you know, he's a very talented player, but he didn't fit that category. He didn't want a salary lower than Suzuki and Caulfield. Okay, get the fuck out. And
he used Montreal as bait, let's be honest.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure he wanted to come, but he knew he could use Montreal as leverage, and he got what he wanted out of LA.
Of course, he got what he wanted, but he wasn't going to get what he wanted here, because we set the bar of what this team and what this future holds. So this young team, low salary, chemistry built, we're going to have, I believe, a strong future ahead of us if we play it right. Now,
yeah, exactly. Sammy. Yeah. Well, no. This leads into the rosters. The rosters are set now for the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, going back to how young this team is and the chemistry they're building and all that, it's absolutely true. A crazy statistic. Okay, I'll give you something I found on Twitter. I don't know who. I think it's Cap Friendly, the Cap Friendly depth charts on Twitter. They gave out the list of the average age per team. The youngest team right now is the Buffalo Sabres at 25.5 years old. Who do you think is number two?
Montreal.
The Montreal Canadiens at 25.7. The average age is 25.7 years old. So that just goes to show right there. Now, this is the projected opening lineups. We're talking about the opening lineup of the season, okay? Montreal is supposed to be the second youngest team in the NHL. And all that to say is that if you heard some of the players speak today, I think they spoke at their practice facility after practice, and they all said it. I don't know if it was Newhook that said, I don't know if it was Newhook or Caden Gooley or something. He goes, but like the culture they're building together is they want to make sure that like everybody's not just friends, but everybody's there for each other, not just on the ice, but off the ice. They're really building a family here, and you feel it. And I'm not saying that the Montreal Canadiens are the only team doing this, but there's just something about. I don't know if it's because something that Marty is bringing in. I don't know if it's his vibe, the way he approaches the game, the way he sees the game as a new wave style of coaching. I don't know if it's Gorton and Hughes that are telling these players, you know, the importance of family. I don't know what it is, but it's so obvious. It's so evident. It's the way they. Like if you look at practice videos, they're having fun. They're smiling during the games. They're encouraging each other. It's so awesome to see. And hopefully, it looks encouraging. And hopefully, it leads them to, you know, the promised land. But going back to like now that the rosters are set, I'm not surprised that this is the actual opening roster. I don't know if everybody kind of missed a mark here, but not missed a mark, but missed a specific detail within the Canadiens lineup. But like Arber Jacki was sent to the minors a little bit for salary cap reasons. So he's not part of the lineup, and I'm putting in quotations here. But I mean, he's going to be back. But all that to say is that, yeah, the guys that make the final cuts, like Matthias Norlander, who I thought had an excellent camp. Like when we first signed this kid, we were raving about him, but then suddenly he was a no-show for like two seasons, and he quickly went down the depth charts because of the plays of like Caden Gooley, Arber Jacki, Jordan Harris, then let alone Lane Hudson. He's not even with the team yet. We know he's the top defensive prospect. Then the play of Logan Mailloux. We all forgot about Matthias Norlander, but he looked amazing. He looked confident. He looked poised. And I'm not surprised he made one of the final cuts. But I also think it's good he got sent down to Laval, because if he made the team, he would be what, the number five to number six, maybe the number seven. Would he be getting top pairing minutes? I don't think so. For a guy like him, if you want him to continue, he's got to be the number one or the number two guy in Laval. You have to give him minutes. So a lot of people are there saying, oh, how does Justin Barron make it and not Matthias Norlander? I think they sent Matthias Norlander down so he could play more. I don't know how much Justin Barron's going to play for the Canadiens this season, unless there's injuries. But right now, he's projected to be the number six or the number seven defenseman. Jonathan Kovacevic, Jeez, I don't know. He looks like Brent Seabrook out there. He's just so good defensively. All of a sudden, a guy we got on waivers last season on the right side. Look how great he's playing. You know what I mean? That's another thing, too. You got to earn your spot. And I just think I like Justin Barrett, but I feel like he's missing that that grit in his game. And I'm not saying that he has to hit, but like just that aggressiveness a little bit, you know, like it's great to see him rush the puck on the or at least be part of the offensive rush. But in his own end, it's like he's missing that little fire in him, it seems. And to me personally, I think Logan Mailloux threatens his spot in the near future.
Absolutely.
We're going to see him, you know, with injuries coming up, it's bound to happen. And we're not going to stay healthy all year long, and we're not going to have the same injury. I mean, hoping, knock on wood, we don't have the same injury list from last year. But, you know, the Norlanders and the Mayus, you're going to see them play. They're going to see NHL ice.
It's going to be interesting to see. Because I think on the left side, at least, if there's an injury on the left, well, like, do you have to call up someone? We have so many people. But, like, right now on the left, it's going to be between Matthias Norlander and William Trudeau. The Trudeau we like, right? So it's going to be between those two. But on the right side, like, if there's an injury, yeah, you might put Justin Barron in. Depends how he plays. If not, do you call up Logan Mailloux? I know it's super early to ask that question to tell, but, like, it's got to be in the back of the coach's mind and management's mind some way, somehow.
I think it's the same thing, though. I don't want Mailloux playing for the Canadians unless he's getting a half decent amount of ice time. Mm-hmm. Like if the idea was kind of like, and especially for Mailloux, I know this is going to sound a little bit mean, but Norlander fell off the map, I think, for particular reasons. Let's hope he's getting back on track. Let's hope he's coming back in and maybe becoming that prospect that the scouts originally thought he could become. Mm-hmm. But I still want to be very, very cautious with him and my expectations of him. Logan Mailloux, unless they're doing really, really high minutes for the first pairing and splitting the second and third pairing fairly easily, I don't really want to see Logan Mailloux here this season. Like you said, Jonathan Kovacevic really stepped it up. I think he deserves a spot. I think he's a good third pairing defenseman. I don't think there's anything to think about. Like he's just, I guess, penciled in for now as a, it's really mean, but he's expendable. He's like, you know, he's kind of a guy that you could put in all situations. He's not going to do anything extremely well, but you're not ruining his development. But at the same time, you're getting him to play the minutes that you need the sixth defenseman to be playing. You need a little bit of physicality. You got it. You know, the guy is really like, and I don't want to knock on him. I don't think he's part of the he might be our seventh defenseman type of thing when we're going to be competing for the cup. I don't think he's necessarily in the Canadiens' long-term plans. So in a certain sense, he has to be used while we allow for the development of our prospects in full. So on the defensive side of things, as crazy as it sounds, there are too many prospects, too many good players. There's not enough room for them. If they could go down to Laval and really have a dominant season and have fun there, by all means. The Montreal Canadiens, when they won the Cup in 93, the farm team, I don't know. I have to go back and see this Hab trivia. This was basically, I was a few months old, but the farm team had won right before the Canadiens had won, not the same year. But it's basically when your farm team is going to go down and compete and they learn how to win at that level. And then they're going to be just going and extracting, okay, Logan Mailloux, okay, Matthias Norlander. I don't think Norlander is going to be one of them, but a Philip Machar, Joshua Roy, those types of players when they're going to have to be bringing them up because the Gallagher contracts are going to be gone and everybody else is going to be getting paid a lot more. Well, I want to be going to pick from a bank that's been playing a lot of minutes, that has a shit ton of development, that knows how to win.
Exactly.
So I'm perfectly fine with everything. And then just to add on again with the Armia, I feel as though the guys who really did not perform are really, I don't want to say screw up or just took it for granted. Well, that was also seen. So nobody got punished except those who deserved it. And those who made a good impression, like I said, it's a question of time. The only thing that I'll say differently than Anthony is We have so many good defensemen at the moment. I think that within the first few weeks of the season, Montreal Canadiens are going to be a part of a trade. And if not, then when it's going to be also time to fill up the roster with vets and making a push for really Stanley Cup playoffs and a deeper run, I think you're going to see names like William Trudeau. I think you're going to be seeing names like Barron. I think those guys are going to be the first guys not on the chopping block, but on the trade block.
You think they're going to try to trade William Trudeau?
Not right now. I'm not saying William Trudeau right now, but Matthias Norlander, to me, this is going to be a hot topic if I say it. But Matthias Norlander, because I don't have the highest expectations, right now he came and he played some of his best hockey.
Yeah.
If he goes down and dominates for a little bit, that's a guy, that's one of the first guys that I would consider trading, because sadly, I don't see him continuing. I don't see him continuing on this level.
But I feel you on that, because when Lane Hutson shows up, you know what I mean? Like we can't forget that there's a Lane Hutson that the NCAA season barely started. He's already player of the week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it all depends what the Boston University does, but I wouldn't be surprised if Lane Hutson gets a contract at the end of his college season, which is at the end of this college season. So I hear you on that when you say that Matthias Norlander might be a lot more maybe tradable, expandable, whatever term you want to use. Yeah, I see that. I see that too. And what I'm actually surprised. I think the Jonathan Kovacevich is going to be a bit of that right-handed veteran defenseman once David Savard is gone. That's what I see. But don't forget too, at some point you're going to have to bring in a David Reinbacher on that right side, who looked pretty good too. He looked good for an 18-year-old defenseman. That's during this preseason. So there's a lot of defensemen there that eventually management's gonna have to decide. Okay, do we keep you or do we give you a chance elsewhere? Because these are the 6-7 guys we're going with.
Okay, we finally have so much depth, a problem that we never had.
I know it's a good problem to have. Absolutely.
But if we were to do the exercise, how many would you say guaranteed NHL caliber defensemen do we have coming up? I think we could say Hutson, Mayu, Reinbacher. Those are three guaranteed right-handed. Two right-handed, right, one left-handed.
But that's half right there.
Exactly. And so then you're starting to say, well, what happens to William Trudeau? What happens to Norlander? What happens to Justin Barron? That's already three other guys that are in my books expendable.
What worries me, and this is where I really hope management is smart and doesn't rush this and gives these guys NHL minutes to prove to the league and to the world what these guys are capable of doing, because we don't want another situation like Sergachev, or you don't want another situation like from the Rangers, and then he went to
Ryan McDonough.
Okay, we don't want that to happen again, where management trades
a very good defenseman for nothing in return,
because it's like, oh, he didn't have any NHL experience. We don't know what he's capable of doing. And then 2 years later, the guy's a fucking superstar somewhere else, right? So you know, the Norlanders and all these guys that you're saying that they're trade bait, I agree with you, you know, because we cannot afford to keep them all. I mean, we could afford, but it's a good depth to have. But if you're going to get rid of them, before you do, let's show them, give them some NHL minutes. Show the potential and say, hey, you want him? Now I want this. And that's how you're going to build your experience, right? Because now we have a young core and you want to add some veterans, young veterans on a lineup that could bring us to the next level, because I don't think all these young players could bring there at this point. And again, it depends on how fast management wants to fight and make it to the playoffs and contend. Because I don't know if you guys heard, St. Louis said it this week. I forgot. I should have screenshotted his his quote, but he said he believes this core, this one, the one that you we're going to watch tomorrow, can take it to another level and surprise the league. So I don't know if this is a tactic to scare the league, but with that mindset before game one.
Well, even even Caden Gooley was like, I love being the underdog. I love it. He's like, we want to surprise everybody.
So, Joey, please, if you're listening to this, do not get mad if we start winning games because this team is not tanking this year. And there's no vision to tank.
Not as much as last year, at least. Yeah.
I'm not going to jump too far ahead because I think we want to save some predictions for the end. I think a lot of fans are expecting to kind of get our take on that. But kind of on that same line, I feel like I'm talking, just side note, I'm looking up at the colors of your shirts. It feels like I'm on an episode of Star Trek or something like that. You have like the yellow and red shirt. It's like literally the perfect, like you guys have the colors down perfectly. But okay, that joke aside.
Red? I don't know who red is. Is Anthony's Captain Kirk color?
The guy red? In red in the old 60s? Is who?
Spock was blue.
No, just whoever was wearing red always died.
Well, there fucking goes my luck.
Okay. That aside, I just want to go over one
members of the operation division. Boop. They don't have a name. It's the operations division.
So I wasn't important then.
But yeah, no, you got Anthony would have to be Kirk in this case.
Yeah, Captain Kirk was in the mustard yellow. Yes.
But on that front, talking about taking their game to the next level. I think he deserves his own little special segment because I don't know. It's coming from somebody who wasn't sure about what position he was even going to be playing. Oh, I know. I think Kirby Dach could be number one center, the Montreal Canadiens. I think he could actually push Suzuki out of his spot.
They're both going to be 1A, 1B. I think, man, I'm happy you mentioned because I wanted to talk about a bit of the forwards. Oh, my God. Bedard just got robbed. Oh my goodness! Sorry to interrupt. Anyways,
I'm behind. It's happening right now.
Yeah, sorry. You'll see it. I'm so happy you brought up Kirby Dach. Like it's official. I wanted him to be on the wing with Suzuki and Caulfield. No. Keep him at center. I think for the first time in a long time, we finally have. It doesn't matter who's the number one and who's the number two, but the fact we have those two at center makes me feel a lot more comfortable about that position, like more than ever. It's not a Plekanec Desharnais combo anymore. I'm serious. You talked about Desharnais earlier. Like he got his spot because him and Pacioretty, the chemistry between those two was unreal. But that's what it is. Like it's solidified now. Kirby Dach is a centerman. His faceoff percentage got better. His control of the puck. His protection of the puck with that big body of his, like his skate. I don't know if his skating got better, but it looks a lot better. Him and Juraj Slafkovský look very good together. They look so good together. It's done. Like if Kirby Dach could demonstrate a little bit of that like Ryan Getzlaf-esque type of play, I might wet my pants.
Was it Ducharme or was it St. Louis that that said, he doesn't believe in numbering the lines, like number one, number two. Or am I dreaming? It was a coach that didn't care
Ducharme,
about...
If it was Ducharme, it was accidental. If it was St. Louis, it was brilliant.
No. Well, I remember, speaking of that, real quick, I remember Guy Carbonneau when he was coached in 2008. He says, I don't have a number one line, a number two, a number three. I have a Plekanec line. I have a Koivu line. I have a
Okay, so then that's where it's coming from because
yes, I think St. Louis. I think
St. I think Louis, he had said that last year. He doesn't care about lines. Yes. Number one, number two. He just
But at the same time too, like he's well aware that
of course
you know what Marty St. Louis is a little bit for lack of the better term, like a bit of a politically correct in the sense that like he's protecting all of his players and he's not and he's making sure that all of them have value whether they're playing top line minutes or bottom line minutes. Like he values each and every single one of his players.
Yeah,
that's one thing I've noticed. Armia. He actually said on that subject like he knows that there is a seat for him if he plays well, but he also needs to know that somebody else is trying to fight for his seat. So at the end of the day, that's part of the business. But going back to Kirby Dach, like, dude, oh my God, like, he looks so good. A lot of Montreal Canadiens analysts, you know, those that work at LAS and all that, a lot of them predict that Kirby Dach might take over Suzuki spot at number one. I personally don't know. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but at the end of the day, it's like, you do want Suzuki and Cole Caufield to stay together. And now it looks like they want Kirby Dach and Slafkovský to be that combo. At least that's the projected lines heading against Toronto on Wednesday night. So I still think I would have loved to have seen Josh Anderson play with Kirby Dach and Slafkovský. And
that would have been a beautiful line.
I think so. But yeah, Right now it's Newhook playing with those two, and Anderson is playing with Suzuki and Cole. I thought Josh Anderson had an amazing camp. Like, I think he was one of the best forwards, at least in the camp. And I know people say, like you guys said earlier, like, it's training camp, preseason, don't take it too seriously. But at the same time, too, it's like, hey, last year they won zero games in the preseason. This one, they're 3-3. They're literally 500. And it's funny how a lot of people say don't really look into the preseason, but most of the time, the teams that do well in the preseason do well during the season. And the ones that not so well during the preseason, well, they're shit in the actual season.
I hope.
And sorry to say, I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to say this later, but like, in my head, I always thought that the Canadiens might be a 500 team this year, and they showed it in the preseason.
So, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about that in predictions, but speaking of lines, I know it's crazy for me to say this because, you know, you said perfect lines about, you know, Newhook with Slafkovský and Dach, and you have Anderson with Suzuki and Cole. But from the red, and again, there's something about me going to the red versus white, and I always catch these little things. You know, I was right about Joshua Dubois, and I don't know if I'm going to be right this time, but I really like Tanner Pearson with Cole and Suzuki. You know, they played the whole time. I know it's weird to have Tanner Pearson on the first line. It's the stupid, like, every halftime right now, probably saying, who the fuck is this Anthony guy? Get the fuck out of the podcast. But, and probably Joey, I'm going to write a comment tomorrow.
As soon as Joey hears this, he just had a brain aneurysm.
Joey's going to say something for sure. I'm going to get a message from him tomorrow. But just give it a chance, because from what I saw when they played them three together, and again, it's red versus white. You're playing against each other. You're playing against your own teammates, so it's different on the ice at NHL level with the Crosbys and everybody. But you never know. And it's, again, you know, we're still, as much as what's his name's Marty said that he believes this team's going to take it to another level, and a lot of our predictions are saying that this team could make the playoffs if they're healthy, blah, blah, blah. We're still in testing phases here. We still don't have, you know, the right lines and the right chemistry. Anything can change. You know, like you said, Dach could be the number one, but we all think Suzuki's number one. Well, that can change easily. And Slafkovský is getting another chance at the NHL right now. I know he's still young and he can surprise everybody.
He looked better this year.
He looked a lot better. But anything can happen, right? And again, I still think this is red versus white, but the Tanner Pearson with Cole and Suzuki, I enjoyed watching him. They were together the whole time, and they had a lot of good chemistry from what I saw, from my knowledge of hockey. But you'll never know.
Yeah, but the thing is I think, it's a bit, what I like to see is more is if they're like, I'm not so sure about the Josh Anderson playing with those two, because they tried it last year, it didn't work so well. But now a lot of people are saying that Josh Anderson's game improved in the sense that he's not so much one-dimensional anymore. Like, he's like a north-south guy. As soon as he takes the puck, just speeds towards the net, and that's it. But, like, once he has the puck in the zone, he doesn't know what to do anymore. This season, or at least this preseason, showed that, like, position-wise, he's making himself a lot more available to receive a pass. Like, he did it against Toronto in the preseason game, and he always has the amazing capability of destroying Toronto last minute, which I fucking love, and I hope that continues opening night. And that's what he's going to need. If he wants success with those two, with Cole and Nick, he's going to have to know how to play a lot better than what he's been capable of without the puck. That's going to be key for him. If he's able to position himself properly at the right time without the puck, then that line could be a dangerous line as well. That's my hope. And my hope for Alex Newhook is just with his speed and puck carrying abilities, he opens up a bit of, he opens it up a little bit for Slafkovský and Doc. I think Doc, him too, protecting the puck might do that as well. But yeah, to your point, Antti, it's like, yes, they're still in the testing phase, but as long as they keep certain guys together that they know can carry the team in the long term, like Cole and Suzuki, it's set in stone for like the rest of their career, hopefully. And I think now, right now, it's they want to see Doc and Slafkovský together, and they're kind of hoping they get, you know, a secondary scoring line out of those two if ever Suzuki and Cole, it's not working out for them in a game or what have you. So it's exciting. The top six guys right now in the Canadiens, the top six forwards are the top six forwards that we predicted. You know, like Tanner Pearson wasn't brought in to be that guy. He was brought there to be a veteran checking guy if healthy. Gallagher, unfortunately, he's not that guy anymore. And, you know, as much as I love him, as much as I love what he brought his entire career, what he still brings, I think his time is slowly running out. But you know what? As long as he's there, we all know that he'll fight to the death for this team. And yeah, what I'm actually very surprised is three goaltenders.
I mean, you said it before we started, we went live. Sam, you said that a lot of teams are doing it this year. I'm surprised.
There's five teams. There's five other teams doing it. I saw Detroit. I saw LA. Buffalo. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4. And there's one more team. I don't know if it's Boston, and I should have screenshot this. I saw it somewhere. But I know there's five other teams doing it. And like I said, so there's LA, there's Buffalo, there's Detroit, and there's Montreal. And I forgot the last team for the life of me. But this is rare. I've never seen this before.
Well, you know what? We're in a time where there's not many number one goalies out there.
You know? It's completely different now.
The goalie situation compared to the past, you know, with the Brodeurs and the Longos and the Hasek's and the Prices.
Yeah, I mean, you saw like the Price, the Lundqvist, the
Quick Fleury. Pecorine.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Now it's Jesus Christ.
The goalie situation across the board is where it's not like the old days. That's going to have to start rebuilding. We're going to finally get our new core eventually. But right now, I think all teams are having this issue. And that's why I keep saying, you know, when we had this debate about, you know, goalie winning the Stanley Cup, I mean, if we can have a good defensive core and a good forward, the whole goalie situation is not as important, especially with what's going on across the league. It's not just Montreal the issue. You just said it. Five teams are starting with three active goalies. Now, what is the purpose of that? I'm just curious.
I think it's because they don't, because there's quite a few teams out there that need a goalie because of injuries. Like if you look at Tampa Bay, I think they were way too worried about losing Primo to,
yeah,
because he's got to clear waivers. And I think the Canadiens and these other teams that are doing, I think they were a little bit afraid of losing Primo for nothing. For nothing. I think if a lot of people are writing off Caden Primo with this team, sad to say, but I mean he's a seventh round pick, 24 years old, which is still considered young for a goalie, but he's got to start. He has to start now. But what I'm a little bit puzzled is, put aside the fact that yes, they were afraid of losing him for nothing, but if he's going to be part of the Canadiens, is he really going to play? If he's barely playing, then how can you trade him and hope to get something valuable in return without him playing? That's the part.
I think you already hit the nail on the head. You said it without saying it. I don't think he's going to be playing very much, if at all. I'm going to give credit to the kid. Primo, I thought, out of all three goaltenders,
he's the best
goaltender I can.
I think so,
I'll,
too.
I'll start by saying that.
I think so, too.
I don't want to say that they kept him on merit like you said, I think he was going to be picked up for nothing. I think teams were waiting to see if they were going to call Montreal's bluff, so to say, and pick him up for nothing. And now that they're like, okay, no, no, they refuse to lose him for nothing. Now I think it's just going to be time to see for a trade. I don't know. The only other maybe ace up the sleeve that might come out, if you can see it, is basically maybe they're trying to move Allen. Maybe they want to hang on to Primo as their number two. That would be unexpected, but I'm just saying that might also be another option.
But I think if your future is if you don't see Allen as your future backup or number one, this is the time. We said this in the summer, over the summer, one of our episodes. This is the year to get rid of Allen, to get some value out of him. Because you wait a little longer, then you're getting rid of him for nothing. If you want to get rid of Allen for assets or whatever, you want some value out of him, this is the time. And I thought he was going to get traded in July.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe you're right, Chris, that Allen is the little piece that's going to be moved and Primo's going to be your backup. Or, again, I strongly believe, I think Primo is done with the Montreal Canadiens, but he could be a number one somewhere else.
I'm totally in agreement with you. I think it's Primo who's done with the Montreal Canadiens. But here's where I'm really going to throw this card into the mix. Jake Allen goes, plays against Toronto, wins the game, the season opener tomorrow, has a stellar performance. It's not Sam Montembeau who's getting that. Like, I'm just saying, maybe they're going to toss Allen into the mix for the first few games, hoping that he performs, and then you have means to trade him. Like, hey, Allen's in top shape. Other teams, like, you want this guy? He just finished beating Toronto. He just finished performing as well as this.
Jeez, yeah.
Any interest? That might actually be a strategy. And what's the cost of, like, if Primo's benched for 2-3 games and he's watching from the press box, so be it. But if it's one or the other, to me, it's perfectly clear they're going to give Allen that shot because it was supposed to be Montembeau. All of a sudden, Allen is the guy who's getting the guaranteed start, and that's tomorrow. I think that might be the other strategy.
And I think leave it at that. Yeah, but I think Marty is starting Primo, Allen against the Leafs just because of the way he played last time against the Leafs. Like, he let in that one bad goal, and then after that, he stood on his head for the entire game. So I think Marty is going based off what he saw the last time, and he played against a practically almost an almost original roster lineup of the Maple Leafs. I think Tavares was there. I don't think Nylander's there, but Matthews was there. Marner was there.
Nylander was there.
Was Nylander there? Matthew Nyes. Matthews Nyes was there. Yeah. I personally think, at least for this week, Canadians play on Wednesday and then home opener on Saturday against Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks. But I think Montembeau gets the start of that, despite how Jake Allen plays. If Jake Allen plays outstanding to Wednesday night, whether he wins or loses, I still think Montembeau is going to get the start on Saturday versus the Blackhawks. I don't know. But I don't, guys, I don't know what to make of this three goaltends. I don't know what they're going to do with I don't know what they're going to do with Allen. I don't know what they're going to do with Primo. Montembeau is playing for a contract year, so what's going to happen with that? Are they going to keep him? Are they going to try to, like, I
think Chris said it
with the goalies. I have no clue what to think about with the goalies.
I think Chris, you know, said it perfectly before. I mean, his prediction on all this is that they don't want to get rid of Primo for free. So,
yeah,
but then you said it's not, but then you said it's not, what's the purpose of keeping him on the bench? Not playing, what value are you getting from
that? That's why I'm confused. I don't know what the
fuck. That's the confusing part. So now maybe Chris's projection is right. Prediction is right of starting Allen for a couple of games and using him as bait. Or, I mean, I don't see Primo in the lineup. I just don't. Yeah. I think we gave him too many chances. So maybe Allen is the bait. Maybe Allen is the guy out.
Maybe.
And but Primo will be our backup.
But are you guys comfortable with Montembeau being number one, Primo being number two?
I'm not comfortable with Primo number two, but I'm comfortable with Montembeau number one.
Okay.
Based on my last year's,
yeah,
his last year's performance, but and then the Olympics.
Okay.
But Primo, I do not feel comfortable with.
Yeah, because like I said, if they want, if Marty, we got to look at it this way. If Marty says he feels the Canadians could take this, the team can't go to the next. That's unfortunately no, unless Primo has an outstanding season as a backup, that every game he plays as a backup, he plays outstanding. I don't know yet. I don't want to shit on the kid, and I don't want to write him off either, but it's there's a bit of like that question, what have you done for me lately? And unfortunately for Primo's case, it's not much. Now, like Chris said, the preseason, he showed good signs. Like, he wasn't the worst goalie. I think Alan Montembeau had let in worse goals than Primo did.
Big time.
But at the end of the day, those two, Alan and Montembeau, have proven a little bit more than Primo has. Mm-hmm. So, guys, time will tell. We'll get into kind of like the predictions. But first, like, I really want to know what you guys, like, where do you see the Canadians finishing within the Atlantic Division? It's not really amongst if they're making playoffs or not, but like, where do you see them finishing the Atlantic Division? Last year they finished last. This season might be a bit of a different story. So,
sorry,
take your time.
Okay. Well, I guess coughing was the start of my
point.
I still think that. My God, Montreal is going to be one of the bottom two. Boston is going to dip down. Everybody's so fucking high on Boston because of what they did last year, but I don't see them anywhere close to how
No Bergeron, no Krejci.
Florida, same thing. I see it a steep downhill performance this year. Tampa Bay Lightning, another steep downhill. Like these teams, Tampa Bay, Boston, and Florida. I'm not saying Tampa Bay is guaranteed out. I'm just saying they are officially on their way down and out. Boston took a major jump. Tampa Bay is inching closer because they just still have so many game-changing players. Florida took a big dip. Ottawa got better.
How did Florida dip though? They didn't lose anybody from the finals. I'm not sure about Aaron Ekblad's health, but they're pretty much kind of the same team, Florida. The ones that I think that are really dipping is Boston. Otherwise, Tampa Bay, it's like, I think they're on their last legs in that sense, like in terms of like that core that won them those cups, but I still think they're up there. For me, the top three teams, I still think are... I'm going to barf here, but the goddamn Maple Leafs, I still think they're probably the best team on paper, or at least second best. It's between them and Tampa, and I think Florida still takes number three. But after that...
It's open.
After that, I think it's open between Buffalo, Detroit, us, and Ottawa.
So that's what I was going to say. Lightning, Florida, and Leafs are the top three. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is based on health.
Yeah. Okay. I think.
But I think they stay in the middle. I think Habs finish fourth or fifth.
If the Canadians are healthy
in the division,
I think they could be better than Detroit. Although Detroit got a few veterans, like they got the Jeff Petrie, they got Alex DeBrincat. Lucas Raymond is probably going to step it up a little bit more. But, you know, I mean, Buffalo, like with Tage Thompson and that, like Buffalo, fuck, with Rasmus Dahlin on defense, you got Owen Power. And it'll depend on their goaltender, because if Devon Levy, however you pronounce his name, local Montreal kid, if he steps it up, man, he could probably help them out. But it's tough. I think the Canadians can be better than Detroit, if healthy. I think they could be better than Detroit than Buffalo. To me, it's Ottawa. Ottawa, it's going to depend on their goaltender, because I think Ottawa is able to make that next step, like we're hoping the Canadiens do. But them, it's going to depend on their goalie and maybe their defense. But their defense with Thomas Chabot and now Jacob Chychrun, I can't pronounce his name. Ottawa's getting better, and I hate to say that too. I'm gonna have to swallow my vomit here, but I don't know. I think the Canadians, again, we always say this. It comes down to health. It comes down to health. It comes down to health. I think maybe the Canadians could be could finish top five. Maybe I'm being too, maybe I'm being six. Maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I think they could. I think they could.
So I'm gonna be the polar opposite of Joey. So Joey, I don't know, out your headphones.
Joey's lower the volume.
Do what you got to do to tolerate this. But I'm going to talk from a mathematics standpoint. Mathematically speaking, the Montreal Canadiens have been abnormally injured. I think just the way things go in life is there's usually a counterbalance. I foresee, unless it's going to be, again, buy yourself a lottery ticket if you predict that this is going to be the case. But if the Montreal Canadiens are as riddled with injuries this year, I would be very, very surprised. I think the training staff, especially the new training staff, as stupid as this is going to sound, they're coming in their first year. They know what happened. I think they're going to be overwhelmingly cautious. As long as the players are not reckless and stupid or suffer from these like freak injuries type thing or like bad luck injuries, like blocking shots with a broken foot, so on and so forth, I think you're going to see a much healthier Montreal Canadiens. I also think that there are a lot of players, like we already spoke about Kirby Dach, but I didn't think it was appropriate to bring it up before, but Mike Matheson looks like he's on another complete
level. Yeah, that's true.
On the back end. Yeah. Like he actually and genuinely looks just as good, if not better, than what Petrie looked like in his some of his best years. I know it's preseason. Let's try not to get too excited. All I'm saying is that all the young guys, like the really young guys who are the core of the team, Dach took a huge step. Suzuki and Caulfield, again, somehow I find them just even a little bit better. It's just another year. I think the addition of Newhook, Josh Anderson looks better. I'll get to the statistic predictions after, but
yeah,
we could easily finish top four, maybe even fifth in the division. I think this Montreal Canadiens team is going to be pushing for playoffs. I seriously attach that to Tabarnak because I seriously, seriously think if the Montreal Canadiens are healthy, I'm not even going to go with Sam Montembeau unless the goalie really shits the bed. I think we're seeing a healthy year. And I seriously think number four, number five in the division pushing for playoffs between 7 to 11
for that final wild card spot. Okay, perfect. So fuck it. Let's jump right into it. Okay. In terms of bold predictions, okay. Let's start with in the individual players of the team. Okay, do you see Nick Suzuki going over 80 points or under?
It's all just about even within plus or minus five for Suzuki.
Okay. So you think he gets another career high this year?
Yes.
Yeah, at 66 last year, career high in goals.
Over 70, I think 74 plus for Nick Suzuki.
Okay, points. Okay, yeah, yeah. I'm going with 81 points this year for Nick Suzuki. 81. He still hasn't beaten. He still won't beat Kovalev with 84, but he'll get so close. Joey.
This year, I'm not going to predict or give my scenarios like Joey calls it. I'm going to play it differently this year.
Okay.
And I'm just very excited to watch this team play. I'm going to have zero hopes of playoffs or anything. I'm just going to start watching the season tomorrow.
You say that now.
Two periods in.
Two periods in. This fucking dude's winning the cup.
No, all jokes aside.
Sans la coupe, si.
All jokes aside, I have so many hype, like I have hype. I have a lot of high hopes for this team.
Yeah, high hopes.
Future.
Okay. Future. Okay.
What we are expecting from every individual from this team, the potential every individual of this team could give us. I just do not want to say it's going to happen this year or next year, but I believe that the Caulfield can hit the 30 plus and the 80 point plus.
30 points. Plus. I'm hoping he hits 40 plus.
But I'm starting low. I'm not playing the ball high. But I see the Caulfield hitting 30 over and 80 points. I'm seeing Suzuki 30 and 80. Not this year. I'm saying in general. This is what my projections from these players in the future. Now, for this year, I'm excited to see these guys play. We couldn't really fully see them last year because of all the crazy injuries we had. But a healthy team, projection wise, we can see the Kovalev. We can see all that. So I don't want to have the scenario and say Joey's going to be out of the scenario, because I really want to say deep down, a healthy Montreal Canadiens team, Suzuki will hit the 81, 82 points. But I think he'll be short this year, a little short.
Okay.
And I think Caulfield's going to hit the 30-plus goals this year. It's not my thing. Yeah. It's what I want.
Yeah.
What do I think? We'll see. Happy Joey.
I'm giving Caulfield 42 goals this year.
Okay. Love it.
Again, this is all pending. Players are healthy. I don't know whether they play 82 games or not, but like if Caulfield could stay healthy, play 82 games, I'm saying.
Joey's going to be a manager right now. You cannot have a
scenario. I don't care what you predict. I'm predicting 42 goals for Cole Caulfield. I don't know about Suzuki, though, in terms of goals. I don't know if he'll hit 30, but
Suzuki's more of a playmaker.
But obviously Suzuki could still hit. Oh my God, Bedard just, was that Bedard? No, that was Corey Perry. Sorry, that made a wicked deke. I think Suzuki hits 25 goals. I'm gonna say that, but Caulfield 42.
Yeah. Okay. Are you done? Do you want to do more statistical predictions?
Well, I hope a 20 goal season by Kirby Doc at least. At least Kirby Doc, I'm hoping he gets 20. Josh Anderson could hit 20. Juraj Slafkovský, if he could hit between the 10 and 15 mark in his second season. I mean, mind you, he barely had a rookie season. If Slafkovský hits 10 to 15 goals this year, I'll be super happy for the kid.
Fair, me too. Okay. I was actually going to say 15 plus for Slaf.
Okay.
You know, I want and not what I predict. I want to see it because he has a lot to prove. And especially with our fan base, they're gonna fucking hang this guy if he doesn't. But you know,
yeah, okay.
So Caulfield, I think under the 40 mark, but over 30. Suzuki under the 30 mark in goals, and he's short to hit the 80.
Okay.
And Slaf, like I said, 15 plus is what I want to see.
Yeah.
When he hit it again, we don't know. Who else? Doc, I really want to see the 20 plus.
Yeah, so Doc, I want to see 20 goals at
and
least.
New, and New Hook as well. I want to see New Hook at 20 plus.
Yeah, hopefully.
So on that front, I'm going to say Caulfield is going to break the 40-goal mark. Let's just leave it at that. For some reason, I have like 44. 22 is going to get 44. He's going to double up on his goals.
Nice.
Over his number. I think he's going to be at 44. Suzuki, kind of like what Sammy said, I think you're going to see him floating around plus or minus the 25 goal range. So you have two guys who are scoring, you know, one who's scoring over guaranteed over 20, another guy who's scoring, I think, over 40. But I think where it's going to get really interesting, and I said this in previous podcasts of our, like the previous podcast, if not one during the summer, I think you're looking at New Hook, Anderson, Slafkovský, as well as Doc, and maybe, so that's four guys. Those are four other guys that I think are going to hit a minimum of 15 goals, which is a lot of goals.
Yeah,
you have to for another four guys to score at least 15 goals. I think there are another four, and even who's kind of like teetering. I'm not even counting Pearson or Monahan. I think that's another bold prediction. I'm going to say Pearson gets traded. And Dvorak gets traded this season as well. But you still have four guys with 15-plus goals. You have two guys over 20. And we have our first 40-goal scorer since basically I was born.
Okay, so, I'm gonna make this bold prediction. And it's in line with the Antony scenarios. If all the players we mentioned, the top six, just the top six forwards, Suzuki, Cole, Anderson, Doc, Slafkovský, and New Hook. If the predictions actually happen, what we predicted right now with the Canadiens, those players score the amount of goals, get the amount of points. If it happens, we're making playoffs.
100%.
With those goals, if you get guys who scored, if you have those players that scored those amount of goals, like I said, if Doc reaches the 20 goal mark, New Hook, Slafkovský over 20, 25, Cole over 40, Anderson 20 goals, and Slafkovský like 10 to 15. 10 to 15. if that happens, I truly believe there's a good chance we squeeze in the playoffs.
And I'll add something on top of that.
Yeah.
If our predictions are correct or even come close to each of these points and we don't make playoffs, I'll still be a happy camper.
Oh, yeah.
As a guy who looks at individual stats sometimes at the key important players for the future, yes, I'll be happy with that too.
And prediction of the season, I know we're going to have to close this up. So my prediction of the season, guys, again, I'm just very excited to watch these guys play. I do not care about the end result because I do not believe we're going to win the cup. So there's no point. So I honestly think this season ends at the 9th, 10th place. Oof, we're going to make it. I think the last 2 weeks of hockey,
we're going to be it's going to be the most stressful because it's going to make or break their season. Oh my God.
Look,
that happens. Wow.
That's day one, I'm saying, guys, I don't care.
He's coming up with his old fucking.
The last 2 weeks, I'll be like, what the fuck? We're 1 point away.
Okay. We're not winning the Stanley Cup, but if you were to pick the two teams that are going to the Stanley Cup finals and who you think could actually win it, pick a team from the East.
Prediction of the season? Where do we finish?
I always said the Canadiens are going to finish bottom 10. Last year, they finished bottom 5. But if they do score those goals, like I said, then that includes power play, they might squeeze in the playoffs. And pending health and all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. But I'll give you my prediction of Stanley Cup finals, at least, or who I think could win the Cup in the East, who could win the Cup in the West. In the East, I'm still going to go with Carolina. But I think the New Jersey Devils are right behind.
What? Jersey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Watch.
But they're missing a goalie, though. They don't have that goalie.
Yeah, right? but what's the name? I don't know if it's Vanecek. Yes, they are. But he could, like, they have a
now, wicked. If Allen goes as a backup, then maybe I
they have it. they have a wicked defense, like you mentioned, and their forwards are stacked with young talent. It's insane.
So in the West, Allen in the mix of that team and as a good backup, maybe can give you that hot streak.
Maybe. In the West, I still think Vegas can repeat.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. Everybody's going with the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs in the East. No. I'm going with Los Angeles, though. That could be right behind the Los Angeles Kings. If I want to see Habs fans lose their shit when they see Pierre-Luc Dubois lift the cup. Boom, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
go with Chris.
Oh, shit, sorry. So, Anthony, you asked for positioning for the Canadians. I cheated and said 7th to 11th. I'm going to be more bold and say we're staring 8th in the face. I see it. It's April, and Pierre Hood is fucking losing his shit because Caulfield just buried a late goal against, like, Detroit. We're playing Detroit the last two games of the season.
Oh wow!
So yeah. we're playing a lot of games within our own division for the year. I think it's going to come right down to the end. I sadly think Montembeau is going to make us stress all the way up until the end. Montembeau and Allen. So 7th, 8th. I'm going with 8th. And as for the, I'm going to kind of steal a little bit from Sammy. I will say the Edmonton Oilers. I really would love to see the Edmonton Oilers. I love seeing a generational talent win their cup. I think that's what makes them generational talents. I really want to see Edmonton there, but it's a toss-up from that point between Los Angeles, Vegas, and even Dallas, maybe. Dallas.
Maybe Dallas, yep.
Oh, yep. Oh shit. Oh, wait, what's not Dallas? Colorado. No. Colorado, Vegas. Surprised.
Yeah, it's all
and over. Los Angeles. Dallas is an afterthought. What the hell am I saying? And in the East, I'm not straying one bit away from what Sammy said. New Jersey just is stacked. The Hughes brothers over there, everybody's like clicking on all cylinders. Barring injury, New Jersey's going to be
Timo Meyer. Yeah.
And then you have Carolina too, which is just so well balanced, size, skill. Everything top to bottom, they're also they have my vote in the
East. I'm gonna go bold and say repeat Florida Vegas finals.
Oh geez, okay. Ooh. That could be awesome though. Yeah, a bit like that Detroit Pittsburgh thing got going on in the mid 2000s.
Yeah, I'm seeing the Vegas and Florida repeat. Now, granted, what you guys all said about New Jersey. First of all, I didn't know about New Jersey. It's a team that I wasn't following that much.
Fucking stacked, man.
But weird. You know, Edmonton and the Leafs again. But again, the Leafs.
Yeah, it's a...
Fuck okay. I said this last
don't
year.
Don't do it.
I said this last year and be don't stupid to say it again. Forget it. I think this is a make it or break it year for the Leafs. And I said, okay, hold on. I said this last year. Okay, I said this last year and they made it to round two. But I think with the new coaching staff and the new management and all that stuff, I think this is make it or break it, because if they do not make it this year, then they have to dismantle this team. It's over.
They probably the dream was over. Yeah. Or maybe here, since we're watching Pittsburgh, Chicago real quick, I would love to see Pittsburgh achieve the last dance. Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and for Erik Karlsson. Okay, now I'm done. There you go.
True, Erik Karlsson. What the hell? Completely blanked on him. Love those predictions, guys.
Joey, the Montreal Canadiens will finish between first or 16th, guaranteed. it's going to happen.
Joey sent his predictions. Montreal Canadiens finished 27th. Long season. Somebody dies on the ice. If we're unlucky, that's Joey's prediction.
Gallagher gets 30 goals to Joey. Okay, all right.
No, Gallagher doesn't finish the season. I think midway he's put on LTIR.
Oh, geez, yeah. Okay,
yeah. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to an end for the opening of the predictions season predictions. Guys, I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, Wednesday night, baby. Wednesday night
against
begins.
Enjoy hockey season, everybody. We'll see each other once or twice a week. So you're going to get a lot of Griffey Boys content in this season. So get ready for that. If you enjoy what you guys hear,
and subscribe.
Like and subscribe on YouTube to see our beautiful faces. You know, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And of course, on YouTube. We're going to have a lot of content for you this year. Write an honest review. It's the only way it's going to get us better and give you better content. And like I want to do every episode, if you made it to the end, the cold this year is...
Playoffs or no field? Playoffs or no
40
playoff.
Plus, 40 plus.
40 plus?
40 plus, 40 minus.
40 well, who?
Oh, I don't know.
No. Gallagher hits 30 goals. That's the end.
We did Gallagher.
No, we gotta leave Gallagher out of it.
We did
Cole's time to shine.
No, hold on a sec. Let's do the code this year is playoffs / no playoffs. Tell us your prediction. The code is tell us your prediction. Playoffs or no playoffs.
There we go.
Awesome.
All right, guys.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Enjoy the season and the opener. Until next time. Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night. Thanks.